Hello and welcome to the Wise Guys Podcast. I am your host, Brady Fitzgerald, joined as always by my co-host, Chris Hagan.
How you guys doing?
Two games in the finals. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I'm doing well, Chris. It's all looking peachy so far. It's all following the script of what I want. As of right now, Boston Celtics are leading the Dallas Mavericks 2-0 in the series. They've played two games in Boston, won the two games in Boston. First one was a convincing win. Celtics shot the lights out from three. Porzingis looked amazing in the 20 minutes that he played. Ended up with 20 points and 6 rebounds. They couldn't really miss like any shot. The Mavericks looked scared in this game. Honestly, they looked like they just weren't ready. We can talk in full detail in a second. But and then saying game two, closer game, but towards the end, stole it. They were up pretty much the whole time, but got the dub in a game where they didn't play well, and here we are, 2-0. Chris, what are your thoughts so far?
Did you lose me? Am I still here?
I lost you for a second. You're back now.
My thing disconnected. All right, yeah. All right, phew. I didn't make the switch to the hotspot, so I was a little nervous about this. But yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the Celtics looked like the much more prepared team coming out in game one, which I guess shouldn't surprise that many people. Like, I didn't read too much after game one. I don't know if people were overreacting or not, but like, this team had more rest. They've been to the finals before, and they've been the best team all season playing at home. I don't think it was cause to hit the panic button after game one, even though it was a bloodbath. Last night feels like the Mavs not necessarily let one get away because you're still on the road. Obviously in Boston, you're the underdogs, and now you got two at home that if you take care of business, you're tied. But it felt like they're going to have to win in Boston at some point. We know that, obviously. And it felt like a game where if anyone stepped up outside of Luka, that was a game that they could have won.
Yes.
And I think that's been the biggest story so far is these playoffs for the Mavericks, like somebody in every game. Luka's been incredible, obviously, but there have been games where he doesn't put up ridiculous numbers and somebody like a PJ Washington has a big night or Kyrie carries the offensive load. And that hasn't happened yet, and like it's wearing on them. Especially when you look at this Boston team that you had the Jrue Holiday game last night and Tatum only had, what did he finish with? Like 18 points.
Not 24 and a half.
Shot the ball pretty poorly. Thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem.
So I threw that in the parlay with the Mavs money line. So.
Oh, okay. All right. That's, you get what you deserve.
I lost my train of thought there. But yeah, this Celtics team is so much deeper. Mm-hmm. In terms of scoring. And I think seeing Porzingis out there in game one, you're like, oh, right. Like they mowed through the East and they don't even have Porzingis out there. So it was cool to see him have a huge game first night back. I love Porzingis. But just the depth of this Celtics team versus the Mavs, where they have one guy you know is going to have a good night and then hopefully you get it from Kyrie and then God knows who else. That's been my biggest takeaway so far.
I think the biggest key has been a lot of people when discussing this finals failed to mention just how like it always slips under the cracks. And I did a proper job of mentioning it because I'm a biased Celtics fan, but that our roster is just loaded. Like the Celtics roster is just loaded. And as you were saying, Jason Tatum is allowed to have these horrific shooting nights. He's had two pretty bad games so far. He's been doing good on the assists, been doing good on the rebounds, but can't score anything. It seems like they're playing really good defense on him. They're really trying to pester him every time he drives, getting a lot of hands in his face. But he needs to be able to score. He needs to be able to get his rhythm going. He hasn't been able to do it, and it hasn't mattered. As you said, we've had the Jrue Holiday game. We had the Porzingis game in game one. It's really making it interesting to see where this finals MVP is going to land. I think Tatum is somehow still favored. He's plus.
And at least two games left.
Yeah. And if he has two,
odds would say he'll be their highest scorer.
Yes. And he should have a bounce back game. And if he has a 30 point game, he has the other two games where he has like the triple double type stats. So he's going to average pretty good stats. If he can get two 30 point games. But that being said, he needs to actually do it. It's funny. I don't know if it's going to matter. I think his defense has been pretty well. I think his playmaking's been great. He's really, you could tell he's very passive. He doesn't care about scoring. And I know like that's a good cliche to say when your guy's playing bad, but he can truly like doesn't.
He's been getting a little crushed for that.
Yeah. And he's
seen a decent amount of Tatum hate.
Yeah. There's been a ton of Tatum hate. Which is fair. I mean, he's the best player on this team, he's been the best player on this team this whole time. So everyone's expecting the bright lights out of him. And he didn't have a good finals 2 years ago. So it makes sense. It just kind of, it's like supposed to be his time. Hopefully we see him have a good game. What would scare me if I'm the Mavs is Kyrie doesn't look comfortable. And no one but Luka looks comfortable at all. They haven't been able to get the lob going. I think they had 3 lobs in total, and they were all in game 2. And they just haven't been, like, they didn't realize how well they matched up the Boston Celtics being they against the Mavericks.
Well, and Lively has been, like, a non-factor. And
oh, he's been terrible. Not even a non-factor, a negative. He's had almost, like, he's almost fouled out in both games.
Yeah,
he's been terrible. He's had a couple good rebounds, but he scored 2 points in 2 games. Go ahead. I cut you off.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, you're right. Like, I was just gonna say that these whole playoffs, he's been one of their most impactful players when on the floor, and the fact that they could rotate him and Gafford and basically split their minutes, Like when you would look at the box score the next day, you'd see when Lively was out there, he was like plus 20. And it's just the complete opposite so far through 2 games. And I'm not saying that like that's how the rest of the series is going to go, but you're right. Like you said at the beginning of the series, you like the way that they match up. And so far, he's been completely neutralized and, turned into a liability, basically.
Yeah, they haven't been able to keep him on the floor. They have to play Maxi Kleba, who's almost just as bad. He is a non-factor out there. He doesn't do anything offensively, which I think they're expecting him to help out on the Porzingis, the 3-point shooting.
Did he score a point? Because wasn't that a prop?
He did not. He didn't score a point in the first game. Let's see if he scored a point. Yeah, he scored a point in game 1. He didn't score a point in game
2. He did. We should have taken that.
Yeah, his over-under was 0.5. That was true. What was it? Who else? Like Josh Green hasn't done anything. They threw out Dante Exum out there, to try to like push the pace or something. He was bad. Jaden Hardy was able to do stuff in garbage time. It was funny in garbage time, in game 1, they were talking like Jaden Hardy was like one of the most impactful guys on their team. I don't know why. He's a solid scorer.
He can score in spurts.
Yeah, he's a solid scorer in spurts, but he's not like the most important weapon. But when no one else is hitting anything, it doesn't help that he's not hitting anything. And like Derek,
that's what I'm saying. Like you literally just need somebody. Somebody has to step up.
And remember how when we were talking about the preview, I was saying that they're going to do everything that they can to stop Luka, and they're going to let the other guys do whatever they want. Well, they've just completely let Gafford and Derek Jones, or not Gafford, but Washington and Derek Jones, you could take as many threes as you want. Derek Jones Jr., go ahead. PJ Washington, fine with me. As long as your name's not Kyrie Irving or Luka Doncic, you could take a 3 on this Mavericks team.
Yep.
And that's the luxury that the Celtics have on offense that no other team does. That every one of their players.
You can't let that happen.
Yeah, that every other team. Or like that, you can't leave anyone open. Even if it's Pritchard or Hauser, they were leaving Pritchard open, to be fair. Pritchard has not had a great great series. He had that buzzer beater, though. Reminded me a lot of when Jordan
Poole did it. Yeah, that was nuts.
In the 22 finals.
Yeah.
I was like, nice. We finally got a little buzzer beater.
Yeah, nice to be on the other side.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it felt like. Doesn't help. Kyrie Irving's been stinking up the joint, too. We'll see if that changed in Dallas. I'm sure the Celtics
think fans, the juju is off.
Yeah, do you think, remember when he sprayed the
dust all over or whatever he did?
Dust? I don't think it's dust. Isn't it like
evaporation? What was it? What did he do?
Isn't it like evaporation?
Like sprinkle stuff?
Yeah, it's just like water. It's like steam. I don't remember what that's called.
He should probably do that again. Whatever it is.
Yeah, if they do come back for game 5, because he was telling the crowd, we'll be back for game 5. We'll see you at game 5. So if they sneak one in and they come back.
He shouldn't be telling the crowd anything.
Honestly, he should be telling.
He should be running the hell to the airport. He should be going back to Dallas.
I need to change my pants. That's what he needs to be doing. He's really been abysmal. It's funny. Like, all the Tatum. Oh, Tatum's been shooting terribly. Tatum's been shooting terribly. Kyrie Irving hasn't hit a 3-pointer this whole series.
Is that true?
Not a single one. He's 0-for-8.
Crazy.
It's funny.
That's can happen.
I almost predicted it. I think I almost wanted to predict it on the pod before the preview, or the pod at the preview. All these people. Oh, Luka's finally got help. Luka finally got help. Now we're at the finals. Oh, give Luka some help. And they to be fair, the supporting cast has been excellent this whole run. But that's what happens when you get to the finals. The lights get brighter. The young guys feel younger. And if you haven't, like, the Celtics, as you said.
But Kyrie Irving is not young. Kyrie Irving is
playing. He's not.
NBA
he doesn't count. Yeah, he doesn't count in that one. I don't know what Kyrie's doing.
He's just stunk.
Yeah,
he has no excuses.
He's just stunk. But yeah, like the Gaffords and the Livelys, Josh Green.
These guys are wearing diapers.
Exactly. Kyrie is wearing the old people diapers. Like the adult diapers. Oh, man. But, and it's funny. Does it not? So you're a Mavs better. As a Mavs better, are you not scared that this was the bad three-point shooting game by the Celtics? This isn't going to happen again.
Say that again.
This was the bad three-point shooting game by the Celtics.
Oh, you're saying, am I scared that they missed their chance because the Celtics shot so poorly?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be scared regardless, I think. Because, like, these games have made it very clear who the better team is. Not that anyone was really saying that the Mavs were a better constructed team. It was more of like...
It was just Luka.
There's going to be games unstoppable.
Yeah, it was Luka.
That he's going to just carry them to this finals and all he needs is a little bit. I wouldn't say I'm scared because of that. And I think I don't feel good, but if you are a Mavs fan and you need to be talked off the ledge.
Hey, if you want to be talked off the ledge,
like this at home.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? Two home games.
Especially with all the, like you just said, all these young guys, like they don't look prepared, like scared to be out there in the finals. It's not going to feel like that in Dallas.
Yeah.
And I think that is a big deal. I'm not saying they're going to tie the series at 2, but I would be pretty surprised if they don't win game 3. The Celtics team has won every game on the road so far, though. That's the problem, is like you can talk yourself up on the Mavs, but then it's like, I mean, if you're not thinking about the team on the other side of the floor, like we saw how overmatched they can be. And if the Celtics play like their B+ game, they probably sweep this series.
I know, isn't that crazy? Like, so it's funny though, within a span of a week or 2 weeks, because they had that weird break, the Celtics went from being really close in these games with the Pacers with no Haliburton, and everyone's like talking about how they're like, maybe the Pacers better than we thought. That's the take I'm bringing out here. The pace is better than we thought. Look out for them next year. They do something.
Or is Kristaps Porzingis just really, really good and was an important piece on this team all season long?
Oh, well, he is.
What about that?
He is really, really good. I'll give you that. It's funny. It's funny too. I saw these.
It's like no one. I feel like no one talked about that at all.
Oh well, you know why? Everyone was like, just like, "Oh, he's still injured."
To the East, and they lost two games, and
they get an All Star, and they get an All Star in the finals. The one thing I noticed, I saw a tweet right before the finals. It was like, "Oh, are they gonna know like how to guard Porzingis?" And they're like, "Oh, Luka played with Porzingis. Like they were teammates. Don't you think that they would know how to guard him?" They did not know how to guard him in game one. They had no idea.
That's
how to
not
guard
how
him.
That works.
No,
definitely not how that works.
And they looked lost whenever he, and same in game two, not to the same degree because he tweaked whatever he tweaked. Did you see his quote, by the way, on if he'll be ready for game three?
No, what did he say?
He said, "I'll be out there. I'll die on that court." It's like, yes. It's like, yes. Also, why is he, like, it's funny. He comes in, he comes in and everyone was all upset that they traded Marcus Smart in the offseason. And he comes in game one, everyone just like, "Oh, this guy rocks. Like, this guy's awesome." Like,
yeah.
Like, Marcus Smart, ooh. Like, this guy's great.
Yeah. Well, and they got him for nothing.
They got two first-round picks in that deal. They got two first-round picks coming their way in that deal.
Upsetting.
Isn't that crazy?
And then did they extended him, right?
They already did. Yeah, he's already extended.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's funny. I was worried about him.
Looking back, it's obvious. Like, hindsight is 20/20, obviously, but that was a perfectly executed move. Yeah, I mean, we had the conversation. We were like, we don't know how great the fit is because he's a little softer. He lost Robert Williams.
Also, the softness, I feel like the softness went away. In game one, he needed two guys in the dick. He needed him in the dick.
That might have just been us stereotyping him. Like, as a big, lanky white guy who shoots. Like, he's soft.
That's true. But he was such, funny. Like, no, he was soft. He was soft on the Mavs, like, though. Maybe because he just hated Luka. Clearly, it seems like he just didn't like each other.
Man, yeah, I don't know how that didn't work out.
Right? Doesn't it seem like the perfect guy to fit there? Yeah. Clearly, they didn't mesh.
Oh, him. I was so excited when they made that trade.
I remember. And another team that got him for peanuts. They got him for Tim Hardaway Jr. and a couple other pieces. And then they ended up getting Tim Hardaway back. All right. Anywho. I'm too cocky. Like, I can't give like predictions. I'm here. I'm ready to bring the brooms out. They're in the closet waiting. I'm just whenever they give me the call, I'm ready to bring them out of the closet.
I think it goes five. That's my prediction. I can't imagine the Mavericks winning a game in Boston. And the Celtics are just so damn good on the road too.
I think the only game, the way they have to win is, I mean, and it's funny, like, can Kyrie get 20 points? They might be able to win if he gets 20 points.
He will. In one of these home games, he will.
I mean, yeah, he gets 20 this game, and freaking Derek Jones hits one more three, and they could win the game.
Yeah.
If Kyrie can get 25 and Luka can drop 30 and a triple-double again, they can win a game. That's for sure. And though they might, like, it's funny, they don't have a Celtic killer. They need one of those guys on the list. They should have gotten, like, if they somehow could have made the move, they're like, "Hey, Adam Silver.
Caleb Martin." Or...
Yeah, it's like, we need Caleb Martin. Like, we need him evac'd here right now.
Yeah.
But it's a shame. Oh, well. All right, you got anything else? We need a good 20 minutes.
It does, like, it does kind of, I've got a couple things. A, obviously, this doesn't apply to you, but it does kind of stink as a fan when you go this whole season and we've talked about how, like, how open the playoffs is. And
then the best team that won 64 games.
The dominant team.
What?
Yeah, it's almost like we all forgot. I think because they've lost in the playoffs so many times.
Yeah, everyone just,
People have just been like, "Yeah, like, they'll lose again."
Doesn't it make it better though that they've lost?
It's like,
the
if
past
the Dodgers were just to sweep their way to
the
World Series this year and then win, you'd be like, "Oh, right, they were really good all year."
Yeah, but like, this is, I don't know. It's not like the Dodgers where it's like they've won the championship every year. Like, at least you've seen us lose. Like, you've seen us lose every year. Right? Like, yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, the Dodgers have lost. The Dodgers have the COVID ring, and that's it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right, well,
they win like 115 games, like, and they get knocked out in the first round.
Like, I guess even with the Pats, like that, the Pats we won every year. Like, that, it's different than the Celtics run. It's like, at least this, like, we've lost the conference finals the past 7 years. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, people aren't expecting you to win because they've seen you lose before so many times.
But then they're still hating when we win. Like, they still don't care when we win. That's what I'm trying to get to here.
You're not going to win with, like, I'm not saying you're not going to win the final. You're like, you're not going to win with the public.
Oh, no. I've already thrown that out.
Obviously.
After the first two Tatum games, that's because I was Boston, like, it's over. Like, the only way that we could have won the finals and won, like, every argument is Tatum dropped, like, 40 every game. It's the only way we would have won.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a perfect transition to what I saw on TV at Happy Hour, and I just had to bring it up. It was a debate conversation on whatever the show that has like LeSean McCoy and Emmanuel Acho on it.
Oh, God. That sounds like brain rot. It's like sports brain rot.
And the topic was, what's worse for Tatum? Jaylen Brown winning the finals MVP or losing the finals?
That shows Jesus Christ. God.
Why don't you ask him what he thinks? I'd love to hear his answer. What if he was like, oh, Jaylen?
Yeah, he's like, oh, I would be so, I would retire. I'd retire from the league if Jaylen Brown won. Well, he had a quote.
I won't even accept the ring on my record.
I don't know who said it. Some of the beat reporters, but some Jason Tatum quote was like, why should I care about my points per game stats when we're two wins away?
Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, that's what I wanted to hear. I was like, it's true. You know, why should I? Yeah. That made me think. I was like, why should I care about all the losers on the internet who make fun of Jason Tatum? And even like acting like I'm a Jason Tatum super fan when I just want to watch the team win. And
yeah,
like, let me just, yeah, like, that's sure. I'll defend him. That's my guy. I'll take it.
I also saw a tweet that was like, I've never seen a superstar asked to do so little as Jason Tatum. I was like,
yeah,
that might be true, but also, like, what do you want him to do? It's not an indictment on him.
No.
Like, just because the team is really, really good.
No, that's what I, like, sure. I don't care. Like, who cares if he had the, fine, he got carried to the finals. Like, the team won. The matters is the Boston Celtics is the team that won.
Yeah. Well, and the NBA is such, like, a player-driven league, and there's people that are fans of players and root for those teams, and that's what matters for a lot of people more than the team itself, which I think is ridiculous. I think that's a crappy way to watch sports. But I don't know. Maybe that's just being like a diehard fan of every team that I have. But I think that's where.
Are we boomer sports fans? What happened in the days when you rooted for the team? What happened to those seriously. Days?
Like, I appreciate watching good players. Like, watching Luka this whole time has been awesome, and he might be like my favorite player in the NBA, but I'm not gonna root for the Mavericks. Well, I am because I bet on them, but like, I, you know,
you're
what
not
I'm
gonna
saying?
Buy a Mavericks t-shirt and be like, I'm a Mavericks fan because you like
Luka. Yeah, right I'm not gonna be a Mavs fan because of Luka.
All right, one last thing
I appreciate watching him, and that's it.
One last thing before we go. Not to get like just free throw, not to get ref ball involved, because I think the refs have been all right
here.
But no. I'm just saying, if they hit their free throws, they would have also won this game.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mavericks.
Yeah, Mavericks hit their free throws.
I feel like we should not be having these conversations in the NBA. Like, hit your free throws.
That's
not
what I'm saying. I'm expected to make them in my pickup game. Or not pickup, but
unacceptable. Right. Yeah, seriously.
Like, come on. That's what I always hate. It's like, dude, if I'm expected to make them, or else I'm not playing in my pickup game, then you guys better make them.
Yeah, hit your freaking free throws. Annoying. So right. Easy.
Oh, we didn't. Do you think Tatum's going to take, who do you think taking the MVP?
We talk about this at the end of the series.
All right. I mean, by the end of the series, we're going to know who the MVP is. So it's not gonna be a surprise.
Well, I get well, when there's one game left. I think it's stupid.
You're just not going to. All right.
Sure, yeah. Tatum. I think he'll...
Get out of here. We're going to talk baseball.
I think he'll have it better.
No, sure. No, okay.
Want me to say? He just wanted to glaze on Tatum.
No, I don't want you to glaze on Tatum. I wanted you to give me an honest opinion about who you think is going to win finals MVP. But if you just fine, if you think it's Tatum, go ahead. I don't think it's going to be Tatum.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's going to be Brown.
I mean, so far. Really?
Brown has one good game. He has the.
I have to look at the numbers. Yes, yeah. What if it was just Holiday?
That'd be cool. I want it to be Porzingis.
Next two games and they sweep.
Porzingis like comes off the bench and wins it.
I don't know if he can after that last game though.
Yeah, he kind of.
Wait. So what happened? What did he tweak?
I don't know. It looked like his knee. Not
he's
a good.
So lanky. It's just.
Yeah,
he's,
no. It's scary every time. Yeah, he's gonna tweak every time. And I don't know. I like that we're starting on the bench though. When we did that game one, I was like, bold.
Yeah, it was weird, but
no, it's been working out.
And didn't Horford get more minutes than him?
Yeah, I think in both games. I think in both games he did.
Yeah,
28 and
30. Does Horford have a ring? Sorry, I'm just like throwing
no.
different.
No.
Trying to keep us
I think Horford is maybe the longest active player with
like most playoff games played.
Yeah, without a playoff ring.
Yeah, I mean he's on the Celtics team that made it. He's on the Hawks team that was a one seed. And he's on other Celtics teams that went far.
He's on the Sixers team that made it to the second round at least.
Sixers, yeah.
The only team I think he didn't make the he may have made the playoffs that year, but they didn't play him was the OKC year.
I don't think they made the playoffs that year.
Chris Paul?
They were dark. Oh, was that Chris Paul?
I don't know if it was Chris Paul's year or not. I don't know. They might have played Horford if they were on the same year. Yeah, that wouldn't make sense. Why have Horford in the playoffs and not play him? That would
Yeah.
All right.
Well, alas.
I hope he gets a. I mean, I hope they all do, but I'm gonna be excited to see him. Hopefully, get a ring. I can't count my chickens before they hatch. I could be cocky, but I can't count my chickens.
Yeah.
That being said, I think there's a very.
I also thought it was funny that you sent me like a 13 leg parlay, and then that I haven't won a bet in so long. I was like, I wonder why.
Fair enough. Alright. Let's move on to the MLB.
Alright.
Let's so you had
just take it?
Yeah, take the reins. Go. I was gonna explain what you're gonna do, but you know what? Go ahead.
Oh. Alright. So yeah, I feel like usually when we do this it's just I pull up the standings and I just start talking. Which I do have the standings up, but I'm going to hit on my personal biggest storyline from each division thus far into the season. We're almost at the midpoint. We're like a little over a third. The All-Star voting is up, so if you have any care in the world about who represents your league, get out there and vote. I feel like a freaking like political activist. Out there and vote. But yeah, so we can we'll start in the American League, I guess, with the AL East. And the timing of this is good because they played last night. I'm sure you weren't watching because you were watching the finals, but the Yankees played the Dodgers last night. Dodgers actually took 2 of 3 from them. But in this division, my biggest storyline is Aaron Judge just going absolutely nuclear since the month of May. And he started the season hitting like under 200. He was striking out all the time. And he's now the clear front runner to win MVP of the American League. He's got like 25 home runs. He's hitting well over 300. His OPS is over 1.1. So just a ridiculous year for Judge. the guy who broke the American League home runs single season record a couple years ago. He looks like he's back in that form.
Zena, is he going to get
Yankees
close?
Have the,
is he going to break any records?
It's breaking it again? He could. A couple days ago, and I wish I took this bet, but they had a future on DraftKings that was judged to hit 50 home runs, and it was even money. And then he hit like 4 days in a row, he had another home run. I was like, man, I didn't just take it. But you're basically just betting on him to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Which he has had a lot of injury problems, and he's such a big dude that he is prone to injury. But yeah, so he's been absolutely incredible. And him and Soto in that same lineup has been pretty scary. They don't even have Garrett Cole back, who's their Cy Young winning pitcher. So they're at the top of the league right now. Pretty ridiculous season. Unfortunately for the Orioles, they're kind of stuck behind him right now. But will definitely be an exciting division race to watch because Gunnar Henderson is another MVP candidate on the Orioles. He's got like 18 home runs this year as a leadoff hitter, which is pretty wild. So I'm sure all the Baltimore people listening are very excited about the Orioles this year, and for good reason. The rest of that division is just a lot of mid. Red Sox are okay. They have pretty good starting pitching. And like, yeah, 500. And that's what they are. That's what they are expected to be. And so it could have gone worse for them this season. They could like hang around a wild card spot. They get a couple bats hot. I mean, now with like so many teams making the playoffs, anybody can get in. But yeah, Toronto is supposed to be better than they are. Tampa, it's like Tampa finally never re-signing any players has kind of caught up to them at this point. And I guess it doesn't help that the guy that they actually signed to a big contract was a pedophile, and he's going through the court system in like the Dominican Republic right now. So,
oh yeah, that's not gotta be friendly.
Yeah, not a great situation there. Phillies actually play the Red Sox this week, and then they play the Orioles.
Cool.
Pointless side tangent, but so that's the American League East. Moving on to the Central, the AL Central. A
still ass.
Division that has
wrong one. I was looking at it. Yeah, wrong.
Yeah,
one.
Historically has been very ass every year. But yeah, I think the biggest storyline of this division is just the division as a whole is winning. The Royals have been the darlings of the MLB so far, sitting at 12 games over 500, and this is a team that was like, in September last year, was competing with the A's for the worst record in the whole league.
So what changed?
So they went out and they got a couple veteran starting pitchers, and a lot of young players took a step forward. I guess they're getting MVP level play from the shortstop Bobby Witt. They signed him to a huge extension this last offseason, which I think was like the biggest contract in franchise history. So that's been paying early dividends.
That's
and then
cool.
Their catcher Sal Perez is like 1,000 years old. Yeah. And he's had this resurgence this year offensively. He's been ridiculously good. Not out of nowhere because he's put up numbers like this before, but he's so old that
so all these shocking, guys, all these young pitchers are getting Tommy John, and this old head is still kicking.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean he's a catcher, not a pitcher, but
oh, I thought you said pitcher.
Yeah, they do have another old head pitcher, Seth Lugo, who's he's like a career reliever, and they just turned him into a starter last year, and he signed with the Royals, and he's been like a top five pitcher in the American League this year. So it's just guys like that that are having career years. I don't know how sustainable it is, but they've been fun so far.
They can keep it hot at the right time.
Actually make the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, it's just such a long season. But I think they have enough pieces with this start that they've had to actually make the playoffs. But they're in second place to the Cleveland Guardians, who I think I was a year early on the Guardians because last year I gave them out as a sleeper World Series team. Yeah, and now they're We're into June and they're 20 games over 500. And their best pitcher is out for the year. They've had a couple other injuries on their starting staff, which was supposed to be their strength, and it just has not mattered. I saw a stat that they have like three guys in the top 20 of OPS, which, do you know what OPS is?
No.
So, do you know what batting average is?
Yeah.
So, OPS is kind of like the new stat that's more looked at with players offensively now. Because batting average is just hits over at bats, so it doesn't account for like how many doubles or home runs you hit and stuff like that. So OPS takes on base percentage plus slugging percentage. Mm-hmm. And slugging percentage is just instead of one, so like batting average, if you get one hit and four at bats, you're back.
Oh, I'm losing you for a second.
Slugging percentage, if that hit is a single, you get one. I'm coming back. I'm back.
Yeah, I think you're back.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, it was like mid-explanation. I saw that.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so slugging percentage will give you 1 point for a single, 2 points for a double, 3 points for a triple, and 4 points for a home run.
Okay.
So if you go 1 for 4 with a home run, your batting average is 250, but your slugging is 1,000.
Yeah.
So OPS is slugging plus on-base percentage, basically. That was for anyone else that was curious about that. They have the Guardians have three guys in the top 20 in the league in OPS. The only other team that has that is the Dodgers.
Holy crap.
These are also guys offensively just
wrecking everyone.
Yes, and their bullpen has been disgusting. So, the only guy you would expect it from is Jose Ramirez, who's been on the team since like 2013, and he's been an all-star a lot, and is probably one of the better players in franchise history. But the other guys, like Stephen Kwan, was a rookie last year. The dude just hits, and then Josh Naylor, their first baseman, has had a career year. So. Kind of similar boat where they've just had guys take huge leaps forward this season, and time will tell if that's sustainable or not. But they've been winning a lot of baseball games. So this division's on the up, at least those top two teams. The other teams, the White Sox are historically bad. I hope that team gets sold because it really is a shame what's happening there, but they're just not trying to win.
There had to be some AL Central culture still in the building. You know, they had to have the White Sox in there to make sure the
You couldn't have everybody winning.
Yeah, good for the Central.
But then
the West is pretty poopy.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. Yeah, the West is terrible. And the king of the turds would be the Astros.
I was going to say, what's up with the Astros?
Team that's gone to seven straight ALCSs, I think. So that's been the biggest storyline to me, is this team has just fallen apart. They've been a little better lately. I think they could still make the playoffs, but it's just not what you expect to see. And it's weird because like Altuve has been great. Kyle Tucker is going to be an all-star. He has 19 home runs. It's like Jeremy Peña is hitting 300. Alvarez is one of their best hitters, having a great year. It's just the pitching staff has been horrendous. The bullpen is horrible. The only pitcher that's been good for them is this guy like Ronel Blanco. I think that's how you say his first name. He's the guy who threw a no-hitter, and then he got suspended 10 games for sticky stuff. So that's
why
kind of karma. Like their whole season.
Karma, baby.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a big karma season. Yep. Love to see it.
And yeah, of course it was the Astros that get suspended for something like that. The umpire said that it was the stickiest thing he's ever felt on a glove, like since they started checking them for that. And he was like, no, like it was just my sweat.
Just by sweat.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, not a great look there. But yeah, it's shocking how bad they've been, and right with them are the Rangers, 3 games under .500. Team won the World Series last year, and they've had a decent amount of injuries, but they still have the roster that they should be at least over .500. So, been a very disappointing year for that division as a whole. And I like the Mariners; they're in first place, but I like they just don't hit. I don't think they're that good of a baseball team.
So even though they're the ones
Yeah,
above 500,
that's the American
they're
League.
poopy too.
I wouldn't say they're poopy. They have really good starting pitching. I just don't think they'd have like no one scary in their lineup. Their best hitter has had a bad year, Julio Rodriguez.
All right, so besides the
Mike Trout's been
Orioles,
injured.
who would have the best chance at the AL that's not a division winner or the Orioles? I guess it'd
It's
be like,
not a div oh, so you're looking ask me for like a sleeper team.
yeah, so it'd be like, I guess it'd be like the Royals or the Red Sox or the Rangers get it together. Maybe the Astros get it together.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy answer would be the Rangers, just because they won the World Series last
Yeah.
year, so we know that they can do it. It's just a matter of if they can get in. I think Toronto's another team. They're sitting at 1 game under .500 right now, that I wouldn't be shocked if they went on a run. They just have a lot of guys underperforming that won't necessarily last the whole season. And this is a team that for like 3 years now has been kind of waiting to take the next step forward, and it's never happened. So that would be my other answer, I guess, just not to rule that team out.
I like it. Exactly what I was looking for, Chris. All right, National League. Let's do your Phillies last. So let's do the East last.
All right, we can get reverse order then, start with the West. Where are we? I could do the easy one, and that's the Dodgers, but like they haven't done anything spectacular. The Arizona Diamondbacks, the team that just won the National League pennant, are 4 games under .500,
So both the
and
World
they
Series
have
teams have
not
the
had a
same record right now. 31 and 35.
yes. I think the Rangers have one less loss. But
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Arizona's been poopy. Like every free agent they signed this offseason that you thought put them over that edge to maybe win a World Series hasn't worked off or hasn't worked out. Their MVP last year, Corbin Carroll, who got MVP votes, is hitting like 195 and has just had an abysmal year. And I think like as he goes, the team goes. So I think if he gets it going, the team could turn around. But yeah, it's kind of real shame. Diamondbacks have not looked great.
It's a shame for the
Elsewhere in that
Diamondbacks.
division, Giants. It's such a shame, yeah. Giants have underperformed. They've had a lot of injuries too, but they spent a lot of money this offseason. Have not seen any rewards from that. The Padres are kind of hanging around 500. I think they could go on a run. The Padres will have like a week where they look like one of the best teams in baseball, and then the next week they'll get swept or like they'll lose to the Rockies. So I don't know what their deal is. I think they're not consistent at all. They have the bats to make a playoff run. I don't know how the starting pitching is going to hold up, because I like what they have in their bullpen but. They lost Snell, who was the Cy Young last year. He's on the Giants now and has actually sucked. And then they have Darvish, who's just been around for so long that at some point he's gonna fall off. And then they traded for this guy Dylan Cease from the White Sox, who's had a pretty good year. But I don't know about the depth on that team, which scares me. Obviously, the Dodgers have had a Dodgers like year. They're 15 games over 500. Ohtani's the MVP of the National League right now. Mookie Betts doing Mookie Betts things. Freddie Freeman looks amazing. So nothing crazy with the Dodgers. They're performing as expected.
Can we pause
That's
real?
it's one of those teams. They're almost like the Celtics. Yeah, sure.
Oh, but were you gonna say you're waiting to the playoffs to even worry about their record?
Exactly. Yes.
But I wanted to say they had a this Europe series, right? This weekend. Where's the Dodgers Yankees?
Oh, so that was the Phillies Mets went to London.
Oh, okay.
The Dodgers Yankees were in New York, but they played like every primetime game this weekend.
So okay, then this is better. A better question, because it was going to make sense in my head because it was Europe, but why the hell did they have, they were selling a, it was Yankee colored, gray and black, and it was, and on one side it said Judge, and on the other side it said Ohtani. Why did they make that hat? You never seen
That's
this?
Weird.
You haven't seen this?
I have no idea. I saw the Phillies Mets shirt. It was just like a button down shirt, and it had a bunch of logos on it. We're just Phillies and Mets. And I was
all like, right.
I don't know what sicko is buying that shirt, but they need to be put down.
How do I get to the Discord chat? Here we go. All right, check the Discord chat. We might have to put this in one of the slides because it's horrendous. It says,
"Oh yeah, that's horrible."
West versus East on the side, and it's Ohtani number 17 on the left, and Judge 99 on the right. And it's like two, like it's like basically it's two hats merged into one. It's one of the worst hats I've ever seen.
First of all, buying a hat that has like the back of a player's jersey on it is—it's
weird. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's weird to begin with, and then you're gonna get two from two different
teams. And
then
multiply that by two
for two different teams.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, anyone that wears that.
I saw that.
Want to talk to?
I saw that and I said, did they like? I stop for a second. I was like, wait,
can
I
we
thought
screw up?
No. I was like, I thought Ohtani signed with the Dodgers. Like, I thought that, I haven't think he signed with the Yankees. I was like, I know I don't know baseball, but am I really that bad?
But, yeah, I don't like that. I don't care for that at all.
It's great.
Weird weekend in terms of baseball apparel, because there's shirts in London. There was another one that was like, it looked like a pretty nice jacket, and it had a Met logo right next to a Philly logo. I was like, what are we doing here?
Weird. Was it a Doug the Defender
Didn't
shirt?
Make any sense.
That was the weirdest merch I've seen.
Not Doug the Defender. I'm repping my
actually. You know, while we're on the tangent, a Defender got signed by the Ravens. So that's pretty cool.
Ooh.
Some defensive
number two?
End. No, it wasn't number two. Some defensive end.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is cool though, because it's like right before we get back to baseball, it's that little farm system type thing that you need, where it's like the Baltimore team's already looking at the DC team. It's a perfect,
yeah, I like
integration to the farm system. All right, anyways, back to the MLB.
Yeah,
let's go to the Central League, NL Central. What's going on?
I think the biggest thing, the Brewers have had a nice year, and I'd like to give them the biggest headline, but Paul Skenes on the Pirates, I think, has got to be the biggest headline right now.
He's the guy getting
Dane Lindy Dove,
right?
He's the guy getting Lindy Dove.
Yeah.
There you go. yeah, dude, he's nasty. He's like must-watch television. He can throw like 102. They faced the Dodgers the other night, and he mowed down Betts and Ohtani like they were children.
Really?
I think Ohtani homered off him later in the game, but the first two at-bats were unbelievable. It was just three pitches
down. Did he win the national championship at LSU?
I was like, what the hell is going on? I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So he was in the minors for a little bit this season.
Not long,
and
right?
Then, no, I think they were just working his pitch count up.
Okay.
That was the only reason, because he was destroying competition in AAA. He's like, people are saying that he's going to be an all-star.
That's
and this
sweet.
Dude's pitched like three games.
That is sweet.
So I don't know. That might happen. He's been unbelievable. If you have a chance to watch a Pirates game, and you might not, cause they probably are never on national TV. But watching Skenes is pretty fun. So in a division that is really, really boring, he's been awesome.
Yeah, and the Pirates have never been fun in our lifetime. There's never been an interesting Pirate.
Oh, no. No, I mean,
most Andrew interesting McCutcheon one was Hayden Hurst
MVP year with the Pirates,
and that's only because he played football.
What?
Said the most interesting one was Hayden Hurst, and that's only because he played football.
He was on the Pirates.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. That's funny. Yeah, the Pirates had like 2 or 3 years where they were in the playoffs and didn't really win anything. So I don't know. Hopefully for them, that turns around. Yeah, rest of that division, honestly, don't have much. Reds are kind of disappointing. Thought they would have a better year. Milwaukee's look good. Cubs stink. Cardinals stink. I don't know. It's really boring.
Is Yelich going to go to the home run derby? That's all I care about.
No, he's not.
Damn.
He might be an all-star, though.
So why is he not going to – he just doesn't want to go to the derby?
He has like 6 home runs.
Oh, that's lame. Yeah. I want to see PMT eat each other. All right. Anyways.
I think the ship is probably sailed on that, but you never know.
Oh, no way. If he wins the home run derby, they have to.
Oh, well, I know they have to do it. I'm just saying him going to the home
run. Oh, okay. Oh, you think that. I thought you meant like he just like –
No, oh, no. That bet wasn't like a 2-year bet.
No. Exactly. No, he asked, yeah. All right, let's bring it to the, let's land this plane at the NL Central or NL East. My bad.
Yeah. Hate to look biased, but there's really no other big storyline.
Oh, you didn't play anybody, Chris. You haven't played anybody. Who cares?
The Brewers haven't
played anybody. Oh, it doesn't matter if you don't play anybody.
They swept the Padres.
Look, that's all.
There's no good teams in the National League. There's no good team.
All I'm saying is,
there's 4 teams over 500.
Not playing the Braves took 2 or 3
from them, and they swept the Brewers.
Not playing
the other
anyone
team
good.
Close to 500. The Padres, they swept them too.
All I'm saying, they're not playing anyone good. It doesn't. It might as well not count.
We're taking 2 out of 3 from Baltimore this weekend. It might make you feel better.
It might. It just shouldn't count. It shouldn't even.
They
count.
Beat the hell out of the Orioles.
No, it's going to be an injury, Chris. It's going to be some injury. I'll find an injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And it'll invalidate all of it. It's just not going to matter. Who cares? Yeah.
I know you're doing the Celtics thing to me right now. And I still can't help getting defensive.
I was hearing it. I can hear it in your voice.
It's very hard.
Is it hard?
And yeah, it's not. Yeah. Well, yes. And my dad and I do this very toxic thing where, A, we root against the Yankees because we want to keep the best record in baseball. And they're tied right now. The Yankees have
That's not toxic. That's fair.
So, well, yeah, that's fair. The toxic thing is when you look at the standings, it shows your record against teams that are above 500.
Yeah.
And every night we check the score of the Padres game, of the Cardinals game, of the Rangers game, because those teams are just under 500 and the Phillies beat all of them.
Yeah.
So if they get to 500, and their record
is
above 500 looks nicer.
All right, what's up with the
and I don't care, like, I'm not gonna apologize for winning, but it would be nice to get a little bit of that off our back. Is they're beating, like, the reason these teams aren't 500 is because they're getting swept by the Phillies.
Doesn't count.
Padres, if they even won one game against the Phillies, they'd be over 500. They got swept.
I don't know
with the Rangers. The Rangers didn't play the Phillies, they'd be 500. They did, and now they're 3.
Just wait until your team gets really good, and then it's the playoffs, and it's like, oh, man, it doesn't even in the NL playoffs. It just doesn't even count. Is it a cakewalk? Does even matter? Doesn't even count. Oh, now I lost you, and this is the last put I want to lose you at. All right, I think we're back.
I got part of that.
You back now? Any chance?
I know, well, there's no one even good. That's basically the gist of it. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. It was freezing. Yes, that was the gist of it. It was just that you're not going to be... the second you get to the playoffs, they're going to say that you're not going to play anyone any good. So it's not going to matter. You have a good point. You brought up...
They lost to the Diamondbacks last year. There's no... Like, you can't get lower than that.
Just like the Celtics... Dude, this is great. I love this. Just like the Celtics lost to the Heat. Lowest of the lows.
If they don't win a World Series this year, I'm going to lose my mind.
Welcome to the club. I love it.
I will say I am different from you because I've been enjoying this regular season a lot.
Hey, I enjoyed the regular season.
I'm not like,
I just didn't. I didn't like. It wasn't like I had to watch.
I haven't.
Like, you haven't missed a game, I bet.
I've missed games not willingly, though.
Okay.
Like, there hasn't been a night where I could have watched a game that I didn't.
I know what you're saying.
Or at least follow the score.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't watched every game 1 through 9, but.
Yeah. I don't expect you to.
It's always there.
But that being said.
And I try.
Wise Guys fans, if you're living the great state of Maryland, we will be at the game Friday night. I think it's 7:30.
Right.
We both didn't even realize we're going to be at the game, but we'll have
nosebleeds somewhere.
Yeah, we're going to try to get the student tickets at the will call, so hopefully we get tickets. If not, we'll just be at Pickles the whole time. But if you're in Baltimore and you're coming to the Phillies game, come try to see us. Try to say hi.
Buy us a beer.
Come buy us a beer. Tell us we're the best podcast in the world. Everything we want to hear.
We'll sign stuff for you.
Yeah.
If you want, bring it.
I'm going to bring a Sharpie.
Happy
you don't even have to bring it. Yet. You don't even have to bring it. I'll bring the Sharpie.
You know what? We'll bring the Sharpie.
I'm going to set up a booth like with our t-shirts and stuff. $20. Here you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh man.
Is that all you, anything else you want to cap with baseball? Actually, wait, how are the Braves doing by any chance?
For their standards, horrible. They're 7 games under 500 or over 500 and the first wild card team. So they're having a nice year, but their 2 best players are injured, done for the year. Ooh. So it's kind of a bummer. And a lot of their other guys are having really down years. So the fact that they're 7 games over is honestly pretty surprising.
Is this they got injured a couple weeks ago and they're just like they were above 500 enough that it's like trickling down, or is this that, or is this
so
like they're doing all right?
Strider, their best pitcher, got hurt like 2 weeks into the season. It was like a second or third start. They just have enough pitch. They always have pitching. Like they just print guys that
print
come
pitchers
up and throw 150 innings a year with 3 ERA. So, and then Bryce Harper hits nukes off them in the playoffs. But Acuna got hurt like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And he wasn't having that good of a year.
Yes.
But he is their best. He might be the best player in baseball. Well, not better than Otani, but he's up there. So that was a dagger. But they won the World Series. When the year they won the World Series, he tore his ACL anyway. So I don't know. It doesn't change much for me. Like, I'm not any less scared of, or I'm not more or less scared of them.
Fair enough.
Than I was at the start of the season. The Nats are having a nice year. They're supposed to be abysmal. They're kind of hanging around.
Yeah, last time I checked on the Nats, they're
Mets
like
are
right
joke.
Under 500. I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah, they're 5 games under, so they've dug themselves a little hole. But all things considered, they've been decent. They're just waiting on prospects.
Makes sense.
It's kind of staying afloat, selling enough tickets. Yeah, the Mets are awesome. Honestly, the Mets might be my second favorite team in baseball. They're just so funny. The best. Did you see the whole incident of the pitcher throwing his glove into the stands?
No.
Oh man, it was a day. The Mets get beat by the Dodgers like 3 times in a row. Otani hits like a billion home runs. And I don't know if it was in the last game, but one of the games, they bring in this pitcher. They're already down. And he yells at the umpire. The umpire throws him out of the game. As he's walking to the dugout, he tosses his glove up into the stands. It wasn't that ridiculous. Like, people made it a big deal.
Oh, I'm sure.
What actually was the big deal was after the game, and the dude, like, English is not his first language.
Okay.
So he kind of got played here, but he said that he's the worst teammate, and the reporters thought he said that he's on the worst team, and then they asked him to clarify, and he's like, yeah, like, that's what I said. Like, still, it seemed like he might have been misunderstanding. So then they run with that.
Poor guy.
He said he's on the worst team. And then the next day, he's like, oh, no, actually, I said I was the worst teammate on the worst team.
Oh.
So it wasn't like he didn't walk it all the way back. He was
just
like, oh, no,
he's
yeah,
almost doubled down.
Worst team. Yeah. But they cut the dude, like, before he gave the interview. So, of course, he's going to say that he's on the worst team. Like, they did him so dirty. They cut him, and then were like, yeah, go talk to reporters. And then he got asked, like, if he talked to management yet, and he said no. And they're like, oh, yeah, one of the reasons we cut him is because he lied to the reporters about talking to management. It's like, you already cut him before he said that. And why does he have to tell the reporters that he's – yeah, right.
Weird.
So the whole thing, it was so ridiculous.
I almost feel bad for him.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's, you do feel bad for him because he had been placed on the injured list for like a mental health break a couple years ago.
Oh.
And like his kid is dealing with some sickness right now, and it was his kid's birthday. Like the story just kept snowballing. And like another layer.
Oh.
And yeah, it's so the Mets did him so dirty. And it was a huge stink.
Well, screw the Mets.
Anyway, that's
moral of the story.
But that's just like your typical June weekend in New York as a Mets fan. So they are endless entertainment. But yeah, that's all I have on them. Stink.
All right, before we go, a quick, and it has doesn't have it's a college, it's a rare college corner that doesn't have to do with us.
Oh, okay.
I just Dan Hurley forgot to mention. There was a it's funny, it's almost a non-story. So over the weekend, it got reported within the same span of 6 days, maybe five. It got reported that Dan Hurley was in the line for the coaching or the Lakers head coaching job. Then it was like 3 days passed, we heard nothing. Then it was like Sunday, he's going to make his decision today. And then today it was like a college decision day where they're standing at the table and there was a UConn practice at 12. It got pushed back to 2. So everyone was like, "Well, no by 2." And it was, I swear, like a college decision day. And then Dan Hurley did what everyone expects him to do, and stayed at UConn, try to win his third title in a row.
Did everyone expect him to?
Yes, because I mean, at least I did.
I mean, I did.
Yeah, I mean, I guess not everyone expected him to, because we had 3 days and 4 days worth of content for this. But how? Like, he's not going to coach LeBron and Anthony Davis. Have you seen him coach? Have you seen him on the sidelines? He's way too coked out.
That's what I was saying.
To coach them.
Yes. Like, he's nuts. They are not going to take him seriously.
No, and he's going to be like, Anthony Davis,
like,
run the stairs.
A college team.
And Anthony Davis is going to tear his ACL. He's not going to run the stairs. Also, it came out today that they offered him, turned down. It was 6 years, $70 million. It's funny. That doesn't.
Twice as much as he's making now.
It's twice as much. That's what it is. I feel like if you're the Lakers,
6 years, $32 million.
If you're the Lakers, I feel like you got to offer him more than that. You got to revere him away.
6 years is a long time.
6 years, yes. All right,
LeBron.
Yeah. You could do less time, more money to try to like drag him away from winning his third title.
Yes.
I don't know. It just feels like you're the Lakers, man.
Yeah. And they might be prepping for life after LeBron.
That's what this, if they did hire them, it did seem like it would have been a move. Because think about it. You get JJ Redick. Yeah. You have LeBron for one more year. You have JJ Redick as the puppet. And then LeBron leaves. And then what? You're going to fire? Like, if he's not good, I mean, maybe he'll be good. But if he's just a puppet for LeBron, you're just going to fire him again.
Yeah, you couldn't do that with Hurley.
No, and with Hurley too, you could be one of the greatest college basketball coaches of all time. You're gonna give that up to you, and he could coach in the NBA.
And he's the
in 5 years
king of Connecticut.
Oh yeah. Oh, and it's funny how many, like, I don't know how much this actually matters, because the UConn fans are gonna be UConn fans, but 85% of those UConn fans are Celtics fans. You're not gonna go to the Lakers. Like, you half your fan base that you just had. Yeah, maybe it doesn't. But I don't know. I think he made the right decision. He has the opportunity to become one of the greatest basketball coaches in college. He owns Storrs Connecticut, if not the whole state of Connecticut. And he can get an NBA job in, you know, in 4 years, 5 years. It's not like he's old. You hear me? Am I losing you?
Yeah. No, I cut out, but I can still hear you. It's weird. But yeah, he can have an NBA job whenever he wants one.
Yeah.
Like, every team with an opening is going to be calling him still.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. That was all I got. It seems like we're on the same page there. Just wanted to mention it.
I have a quick college corner.
Go ahead. Oh, I got a real quick one. It's one sentence. The baseball coach got fired.
Back. Leah Thugaviola.
Oh.
Hamilton.
Sorry, since you lagged for a second, we talked over each other. I heard a little bit what you're saying. Say it again, since we talked over each other. Go ahead.
Leah Thugaviola signed.
Yeah.
The Hamilton Tiger Cats of the
CFL. Yeah.
The big things to come up north.
That's something, like, at least it's fun. At least you know where he went. Where it's like, so it's somewhere fun. You'd be like, all right, I could check on it in a year or two, see how he's doing. Is that a UFL contract?
I don't know what happened in Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know how that went south so quickly. I don't know if the rookie mini camps are shortened.
I think it definitely is. Yeah. All time Big Ten leading passer. And he's in the CFL. Injustice.
So UFL possibility, what team we projecting him to?
It would be awesome if he's a defender.
Let's get him back home. Let's bring him home.
That would be incredible.
That would be pretty good.
Bring him home.
Hey, farm bring system. Then bring him to the backup as the Ravens for a year or two.
Right.
Or core commanders. Or commanders. No. Sorry. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, there we go.
You get back up year 14 of Jalen. Do it in a couple years from now. Right at the end of his career.
I saw there was an article written that I think was satire, but I couldn't tell. And it was basically saying how Commanders fans should be worried because he threw a bad first pitch at the Nats game.
Oh, that's hilarious. He bounced it.
It had to have been satire.
That's a great satire article, though.
But it was pretty funny.
That's awesome. All right.
He was like, Commanders fans are thinking, here we go again.
As it bounces into the dirt, the first pitch. Yes. All right. I think that's all we got. Right, Chris?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see everyone on Thursday. See everyone who's going to the O's game on Friday. We'll see them there. And thank you all for listening. Enjoy your week. We'll see you Thursday.